ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. And you can always text the show at 713-780-3776. And we are out here at Sam Houston Race Park. Friday Night Racing kicks off in 2 hours. 50 Cent Beer kicks off in 55 minutes. So just out here having a good time. And guess who wrote about seat reclining on airplanes?
I saw that. Ken Hoffman.
Ken Hoffman. Do you know which side he comes down on?
On the right side.
On the right side.
Thankfully. I was going to have to roast that dude.
Yeah. He is anti-recliner. And I don't want to start that debate again because basically my opinion is if you're a seat recliner, you're a horrible human being. You're selfish. All you care about is you.
Yeah.
I pay for my ticket. I can do whatever I want.
And by the way,
and that's kind of what
reclining
Ken says.
Your seat, it doesn't even make that much of a difference. It's not like all of a sudden you've got a bed. You're still on a crappy, you know, you're in a crappy airline chair. I mean, it's no good.
I mean, I've been just forking over the extra money for first class so I don't have to deal with it. And you know what? I feel like I get my alcohol's worth out of the trip when I do that. That paying an extra couple $100, I just drink more.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite add up to 200, but yeah. But it's comfortable, and I don't have to worry about things like that. So I don't complain about it too much anymore because I don't deal with it. But I just – and you guys can try to justify it all you want, but if you're doing it, you're just a selfish little bitch is what you are.
Pretty much.
It's because all you care about is you, and that's the problem with society. We need more people to be considerate of other people, not just on airplanes, but driving, just in general. It's like all anybody thinks about is – and not everybody. I mean, there's – yeah, there's some people who don't recline. I'll say that. But most people, there's just so many people out there that all they think about is, oh, I'm in a hurry, so I'm going to zip in front of traffic here. Or I paid for my ticket. I want to be comfortable, so I'm going to recline on you. Screw you. There's other people out there in the world.
That's right.
And maybe if you think about them, then guess what they'll do? They'll think about you, and they'll be courteous back.
Yeah.
Problem is most people aren't.
It's true.
So I just got a thing. We'll be back at the Hyatt Regency on Friday, March 9th. I don't think I'm here that week.
No.
Oh, man.
Where will you be?
Well, I'm supposed to be in Toronto, but I don't know if that's going to happen now because I may not have to go.
Oh, okay. You don't want to miss that that Hyatt Regency show.
No, man. They gave us tequila.
Yeah, that was a...
And all kinds of great food and all. I mean, they treated us like kings out there. I'm totally down with that. I like being treated nice. You know why? Because we treat them nice.
That's right.
See? Courteous.
Yeah.
Say nice things. Guess what happens? People do nice things for you. That's how the world should work.
Barry Laminack says, I'm a total seat recliner.
Well, then you're...
It's about right.
And Barry, I love you, but you're a selfish little bitch.
And that's the worst thing, too. Like, Barry's like 5'10".
Yeah.
He's got no reason to recline his seat.
I know.
And
all 2 inches. And that 2 inches makes a huge difference for the person behind you.
If you're tall, especially.
Yeah, and nothing for you.
Yeah.
But
just think of yourself, Barry.
That's okay, yeah. That's all right. Just know, if I ever get the opportunity, because you're that person, I will recline on your ass.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like I'll treat you the way
I'm going to start
me.
Being the guy who carries on a conversation with my friend during a comedy show.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't like that, huh? It's rude.
I'll be the guy who screams out, tell a marriage joke, Barry.
Yeah.
Tell a marriage joke. How's that?
Say the C word.
Make fun of Joel Blank. Yeah. We're going to come to your show and do that. How's that sound?
Yeah.
And somebody said, Spirit doesn't recline. Yeah, well, that's what Ken wrote about. He said it was a positive.
Yeah, but that's the only positive about Flying Spirit.
Well, I'm not going to say it because I've never flown it.
Oh, I have.
Did you?
Oh, yes.
I still think the sneakiest thing you ever did, and I admired the hell out of it later, was we were on Southwest, and you took the seat directly behind me because you knew I wouldn't recline.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, damn, why didn't I think of that? I should have let him go first. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, that's one of the things. It's not going to change. It's no matter how much I bitch about it, no matter how much you bitch about it, I guarantee people are going to recline. They're not going to think, oh, this might affect the person behind me. Now, if I look behind me and there's a little kid that it's not going to bother.
Fair game.
Might do it.
Yeah.
But I would look first. I mean, you try to be considerate, right? If it's a 6'5 guy, guess what?
Don't recline. I usually do the move where first of all, the unfortunate part is you don't have use of your seat tray if this is your strategy.
Right.
But I often just pick my knees up and wedge them into the back of the seat. And then you feel the people trying to push back.
Yeah.
But you just don't allow it.
Yeah.
And eventually they give up. Well, but you've got to be careful because sometimes you'll think, oh, they gave up. I can put my knees down.
No.
And then they'll lean back.
But the reality is, sometimes you're doing that naturally, depending on the airline, because
right.
The seat's already on your knees. There's nothing you can do about it.
And if someone does lean back on me, my revenge move is to dig my knees into the seat and then, like, nervously shake my leg.
Yeah.
And people hate that. But it's fair game. It's
The last couple times where I've had to deal with it, I didn't do anything.
You just deal with it, huh?
Yeah.
You're a better man than I.
Well,
I can't do that.
I honestly just feel like I'm just a better person than them because I'm not doing it to the person behind me.
You are.
But
I can't do that.
But
I'm not mature enough.
Apparently Ken got a lot of hatred on Twitter from seat recliners.
Well, the seat recliners are douchebags and they should have their Twitter accounts blocked.
Hmm. You're probably right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Boy, we spent way too much on that, I guess, because it's already time for you to talk about. You know if you just chilled and drank a Carbach, you wouldn't care either way.
Yeah, I'd be happy. I'd be a happy man. Listen, if you haven't made it out to the Carbach restaurant patio, you've got to check this place out. Their food is out of this world. The Korean fried chicken is my favorite thing on the menu. But they've got poutine again. They've got great fish tacos, great buttermilk fried chicken. They've got the vice versa battered fish and chips. I always gravitate to fish and chips for some reason when we're at a restaurant. And all those items pair really well with the great Carbach brew they've got on the wall. They've got their standards as well as some limited releases pretty much all the time. If you're looking for a place to have a party, Carbach's got you covered. They've got a room that can hold about 185 people. And if you need more than that, they've got a great space outdoor in the beer garden. Come hang out in the beer garden after work. They open at 2:30 Monday through Friday, 11 on Saturday, noon on Sundays. Admission's $11 for a 9-ounce glass and 4 tokens for the Carbach of your choice. And while you're there, take a tour of the brewery. They're first come, first serve. No reservations needed. Stop by and see it. They're right outside the 296-10 interchange near the intersection of Mangum and Tacoma. And this weekend, when you're out and about, pick up your favorite Carbach beer or just tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now or use promo code SPG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Somebody, I think people are oblivious. That's the word I would use.
What do you mean?
Like the person behind them can recline their seat, too. No issue.
It doesn't make a difference.
No, it's worse. It's much worse on the person in the back than it is on the person in the front. It's not an apples to apples thing. It doesn't work that way. 832 though says I rarely fly, but last time I thought about reclining, but I remembered you guys and chose not to be an a-hole. So you're doing good work.
I like your style.
Thank you, sir, or ma'am, or both. I mean, thank you very much for that. We're doing the Lord's work here.
That's it. That's all we can do.
If we can just change one recliner, one seat recliner out there, we have changed the world. For the better. I don't like people.
I don't either. I'm so over.
But I'm glad that Ken Hoffman's on.
He's on the right side.
Yeah. He's on the right team. Very happy. That would have
really created a strain in our already strained relationship.
Well, I know you guys are on shaky ground. I know you're trying. I know you've made an effort.
I'm trying.
I know he's kind of made a small effort as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like the war with Eric Sandler. I mean, I think there's some cooling intentions there.
Yeah.
But it's just like North Korea. Somebody says the wrong thing, and it could all go to hell.
Hey, we didn't talk about the Astros' big win. Undefeated in spring training
so far,
Fred.
Oh, boy.
And they beat the Nationals. Ooh. Nationals are pretty good, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Bryce Harper's on the team. He didn't play today, but he's on their team.
Yeah. Who did play today? It would take you 4 hours to recite everybody who played, I'm sure.
Your Astros that played, Jake Marisnyk, Derek Fisher started in right field.
Okay.
Was replaced by Kyle Tucker, just to let you know, he's on the rise.
Mm.
Alex Bregman.
Did Forrest Whitley play?
No, oh, okay, no, he's not allowed. Evan Gattis, A.J. Reed, J.D. Davis.
Remember when A.J. Reed was the next big thing?
Oh, yeah.
I still think he
yes.
might be a major leaguer at some point, but he's kind of blocked now.
Yeah. Tyler White. Max Stassi was doing the
he's
catching.
Still alive?
Yeah. And Tony Kemp played left field.
Hmm.
And as far as pitchers, nobody I've ever heard of.
Oh, okay.
Nobody I know. Just a bunch of guys.
No Forrest Whitley, though.
No Forrest Whitley.
No Joseph Verlander.
Nope, not allowed. Hmm. Rogelio Armenteros got the start. Rogelio.
He's good.
Rogelio.
All right.
But they won 3-2, so they're an unstoppable force, just as we expected.
Mm.
In your face, other teams.
Andrew says donkeys everywhere are offended by me. Drunk Bevo says he's not joking when I say I think Rich Lord reclines. That doesn't surprise me.
Oh, no doubt he's a recliner.
Yeah. That just goes to show you who you should be listening to. Quality human beings or that?
Yeah.
That's all.
And, you know, it's just one ratings book, but the people have spoken.
Oh, yeah. And you know what?
They're not listening to seat recliners.
And the cool thing we can do is just ignore every other ratings book from here on out.
That's it.
That's what the other guys do when they win.
Yeah.
So we're just going to say, yeah, we're the best. But
in your face. In your reclining face.
Honestly, I do think that there are people who just don't know.
That's why we try to tell them.
And that's why we try to tell them. And if there's people who just refuse and do it anyway, then...
Yeah, like if you know that and I think he mentioned this in his article. I mean, yes, it's available for you to do, but it's just rude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like if you were to continuously pass wind on an airplane.
Well, you might get in a fight like that guy last week.
Right.
Yeah, well...
It's legal, technically. But it's also very rude, right?
Yeah, you know what? You know what else you can do? You're well within your rights to get in the right-hand lane and not be turning right and hold up the eight cars behind you. That's perfectly within your rights. Don't know why you do it. People do, though. Or cut across five lanes of traffic.
You're
allowed to do that.
You're allowed to watch, like, your iPad or your phone. You can watch a movie on them on the airplane without headphones. It's just a douchebag move.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do it. But it's
you're allowed to
technically legal.
You're allowed to sing at the top of your lungs on an airplane.
I think so.
Dickweed move.
It's just rude.
Yeah. Trust me, we've had people flying back from Vegas singing.
Legally, I don't think you're required to flush the toilet after you use the lavatory.
Oh, we have guys in the office who don't do that, so.
But it's just, it's poor form to not flush. Legally, you don't have to wash your hands.
Now we got guys that don't do that either.
But if you don't, I'm judging you.
Hmm.
And you're probably going to go to hell someday.
Oh, well, if there is a hell, which I doubt because
no, there is a hell.
No.
You know what happens there?
The hell
people
is,
recline their seat on you all the time.
No, hell is being on one of these airlines where they recline the seat on you. That's actual hell. Which, do you remember? I'd totally forgotten about this. One of the shortest-lived commercial airlines in America. They lasted from March 2003 to April 2006. Hooters Air.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Hooters Air shut down in 2006 after a reported loss of $40 million.
Oh, boy. Did they have Hooters girls as like the flight attendants?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, sometimes it takes like 20 minutes to get a Hooters girl's attention to bring your beer at Hooters. So that's not surprising.
Yeah.
I can't imagine customer service was high on their.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. You're certainly not going to Hooters for your customer service.
No.
You're going to look.
No.
But, apparently, this was a thing.
Did you ever fly it?
I did not. I vaguely remember it, but I don't know that it ever flew here. But I'm sure some of the listeners can tell us because, kind of regret that.
You regret not flying it?
Well, yeah, I'd kind of.
It would have been a good experience.
Just to say you did it, right?
I guess that makes sense. I mean, it's I don't know if that's the. I don't know that you really missed out on anything.
No,
I think you're probably okay.
I guess I could just go to a Hooters and not fly.
Exactly,
be kind of the same thing.
It's like that,
and not get service there, and not be all that
just
impressed
like
with how
that.
They look as it is. So,
hey guys, I got to tell you about Bill Advisor, and you know, I've been telling you, oh, you can save money, you can sign up, and they're going to get your internet bill lowered, your satellite TV lowered, your whatever, your cell phone, your insurance. And I've been telling you, oh, well, Lands Airline saved almost $2,000. And I keep using that example, but there's others. You know, there's other people out there that have done it. David from Sugarland is saving $1,431 this year on his internet and satellite TV bundle. Mark from Spring now saving $1,236 on his cell phone, internet, and satellite TV bundle. And John from Spring, John G, is now saving $1,122 after he switched his internet and TV provider. That's $1,100 a year. You know what you could do with $1,100 at the end of the year? Something really awesome, probably.
Or you could fly first class and not get reclined on.
That's exactly right. Guys, I can tell you about it all I want, but you got to see it for yourself. Text the word BILLS, B-I-L-L-S, to 313131. Or go to BillAdvisor.com and check them out for yourself. They're going to save you money. They guarantee it. They're going to save you money. Give it a try. That's text the word BILLS to 313131 or check them out at BillAdvisor.com and click Start Saving.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park and working on some ISDN issues with RJ, which we hopefully will have worked out any second now. and we'll be able to go to RJ Bell. But you know what this reminds me of? The recliners reminds me of ATM person who did her makeup and everything. It's like, sure, you can do it. Hold up everybody behind you.
Yeah. If you don't care about others.
Yeah. I think we should start caring more about others. Is that too much to ask?
No.
You think RJ reclines?
I'd like to think not. Hmm. I hope not. Would we stop having him on the show?
I think we'd have to.
Yeah, or we'd at a minimum have to like be less friendly with him.
Yeah. I don't think I'm buying him sushi next time I'm in Vegas.
But RJ probably flies first class.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's why you don't hear me complain anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done with that.
Well, what happened, John?
Well, he's got a new ICD in, and we're working on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, John's working on it. I'm talking to you.
Okay.
But I was talking to RJ. Okay. So we'll just have him on the phone.
Okay. That's fine.
That works. He, unlike some of our guests, he has a really nice phone. So,
well, it's still a cell phone, though. Yeah, come on.
You don't have a hard line, RJ? Come on, man.
I do. It's just I actually was sitting here with my 128 mono and my new mic and just thinking maybe you guys could connect, but kind of advanced, I guess.
It's probably Jong's fault. He doesn't know what he's doing, really. So, RJ, before you came on, we were asking, are you a seat recliner on an airplane?
Oh, well, yeah, because if everyone's reclining, it all evens out.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, as a math guy, you ought to know better than that.
No, well, what do you mean? If everyone's going back, let's say, 6 inches, then everyone gets to be in a more relaxed position with the exact same amount of space.
Do you fly first class, RJ?
No, I only pretty much fly Southwest.
Okay. How tall are you?
5'11".
Okay. So let me just put it down for you here. If someone my height or Fred's height sits behind you, when you lean back, that goes directly onto my kneecaps. Directly on, like all of your weight goes onto my kneecaps.
Well, but here's the thing.
And there's no amount of reclining I can do to alleviate that.
Now, here's the thing, though, is you have, how tall are you?
6'3".
All right, so that's an advantage every day of your life. I would say probably 30% of the time that you've gotten lucky, we'll call it, it was because if you were 5'9", I'm guessing you would have slept with maybe 65% of the girls you slept with.
I don't know about that. I see what this is.
This is a short guy thing.
Yeah, that's tall shaming is what you're doing.
Thus, if you have to be a little... Now, and if you're 6'3", you should be rich enough to fly first class. If somehow you're still struggling, it's a sign of some other defect. I mean, I'm not judging you.
Well, it's all right. All right. I see how it is.
Now, yeah. I will say this, and I don't want to give away... You know, I know you guys have... You know, six-figure listeners, so this might be letting the cat out of the bag. But here's the trick, right, on Southwest, is you for some crazy reason, people don't go to the exit rows.
And oh, I fight for that exit row.
Yeah, in the typical Southwest, the exit row, even if I'm like usually if I'm A 25 or 30 even, right, which is kind of high, but... You know, not as high up or not as close to the front as I'd like to be. I still, as a solo flyer, let's say, can get the exit row, and thus I don't lean back because here's a little known fact: the people right behind the exit row actually have less room than a normal seat. So since I can stretch my legs pretty much all the way, I give that poor fellow in the back or gal a little extra room. But I'm very considerate.
Just so you know, we feel a little bit different about you now.
I'll give you another flying tip on Southwest, though. If you wait until the day when you're checking in and go up there for $40, you can get into A or 1 to 15. So
yeah, but you know what's funny though? You can actually for $15 at the time when you buy your ticket, you can get the auto like right literally the minute that you know people. Some people are waiting for 24 hours to check in or whatever is. You pay $15 and you auto check in front of everyone manually, and usually you can get in the A, you know, 12 to 15 range just for the $15 upgrade.
Oh, well, look at us.
Yeah.
I thought this through all the way.
Well, what I found is if you wait day of on like United and stuff like that, you can get first for between 100 and 150 bucks every time. So just
and
a
when I
travel
take my private jet, it's a whole different thing. But
right,
you, won't
you always recline then.
Yeah, the pregame.com Gulfstream. Yeah.
Oh, hey. That sounds fun.
Hey, I was looking at your notes, and I kind of think you want to get into legalization a little bit because you've got more notes on any one subject than I've ever seen from this.
Well, I think it's coming, right? And
yeah.
I think it's important. I haven't been one to talk much about it because to me it's been pie in the sky for, you know, I've been doing this now for over 10 years and, you know, professionally, and I've been betting for, you know, since I was 14, so I guess 33 years. And, you know, to me, this is the first time that it's not only better than 50%, I would estimate we're looking at 90-plus percent likelihood that the Supreme Court's going to decide in the favor of the states, which means the states just get the right to choose to have it. It's not going to be a federal law, at least based on the Supreme Court. And what's happening right now is that the leagues are starting to talk to the states saying, hey, how can we get our cut, right? And I don't blame them, right? We can talk about hypocrisy and all that stuff. But, hey, money's involved. They're going to try their best to get their cut, right? And I respect that. But I think there's a couple of, one really absurd thing. Let's start there. And then there's one mistake, big mistake, I think the leagues are making in their narrative they're trying to spin. But if you don't mind, let's start with, I think, the, you know, what I find to be pretty wacky is the leagues are saying, well, we own, right, OWN, we own the games, and thus if you gamble on the games, you somehow have to pay us. So, like, first, like, wow, that doesn't make sense, right? We could make a bet right now amongst us three, like, a certain movie opening this week, how many millions of dollars is it going to earn, right? And let's say I say over $80 million and you guys say under. Would we have to pay somehow, get permission of the movie to bet on the results of the box office?
No.
Right? And so, or you guys probably know this being degenerates in the name and all, is a lot of local towns would when they used to do the number, right, the Brooklyn number, you probably have heard in movies and stuff, they would literally just say, all right, the last three digits in the handle at Belmont is going to be today's Brooklyn number or whatever. And not so much a Brooklyn did this, but, you know, the idea of the three-digit number. And thus it was random in theory, right? How could anyone know what the number was? And they would use the handle to dictate or determine what the lottery, you know, the illicit lottery number was. So could somehow the track say, hey, we want to cut? I mean, it's just crazy. And that's their main pitch is we own the league, thus you should pay it. I mean, do you guys see it the same way?
Well, I think you own the league, but you don't own the results. And
yeah.
Unless you're scripting the games, then you're not affecting the outcome. So,
well, and is that going to apply to fantasy as well now? Or is it you can't play fantasy unless the NFL or NBA gets a cut?
You know, I hadn't thought of that. That's a great point. That's a great point. All right, so that's absurd, right? Okay, now also absurd is the initial, and again, let's give them credit because maybe it's just the old art of the deal. You know, ask for something crazy at the front and then you get a quarter of that, and the other person feels like they won, but you're happy with what you got, right? So, but they're asking for 1% of the handle. And to me, this is just a basic misunderstanding about defining terms. Because 1% of the revenue, I could understand, perhaps. In fact, I could, easily. But what is revenue in betting? So if Fred's the bookie, right, he's the savvy one, and AJ bets 1,100 to win 1,000 on one game, and I bet 1,100 to win 1,000 on the right side, let's say the opposite, well, Fred just took in theory, $2,200. okay? They want 1% of that. That's absurd. What they should get 1% of is the truth. If anything, that money's being held in escrow is the best way to think about it, right? Because if the game gets canceled, we both get our money back.
Right.
So it's not like they've earned anything yet.
Or if there's a push on a game.
Exactly. So now, let's say the right side wins, I win, I collect $1,000, Fred pays the $1,100, and AJ pays the $1,100, and Fred's revenue is $100. Now that's revenue. Now you're going to have your gross margin off other expenses, and then your net margin after even more expenses, and okay, fine. That's what you get taxed on when it comes to profit, but I'm fine with the revenue, in this case, the $100, having a 1% or so percentage. They want 1% of the whole $2,200 in this example, every dollar bet, which would end up being about 20% of the gross profit, as in the amount that we're calling the revenue, the $100 in this case. Well, think about it. 1% of the $2,200 is $22, and the $100 is all that was really earned from it, so they'd want 22 out of 100 in this case before any expenses, before anything.
Right. You know where that comes from? Racetracks. That's what they do. They take out 28% of your wager before any profit.
But so you're talking about the part of the whole percentage?
Yeah.
As a track. Well, that's why the tracks hold, and Fred's an expert at this, but the tracks hold even on the win play shows almost 20%, right? And it's even more not on exotic.
Absolutely.
So, and it really shows us, I think unequivocally, that example of the track is exactly what we don't want to head down. Because if all that happens is, okay, we'll make it 120 instead of 110, so now I'm betting 1,200 to win 1,000. One, it's almost at that point impossible to win. You've made it so no one can win, pretty much, and probably more than pretty much. Like, almost no one could win. And what happens is it dies out. Because it's not only, hey, can you win or not, but can you lose an amount that's sustainable, right? If someone's betting and they're losing, let's say, $200 a month, now everyone's got different thresholds, but if you're losing $200 a month, you could make a case that's your recreation. Or you could have done that, or you could have went out to dinner with the wife twice, or whatever. But you double that, now all of a sudden the amount of people that can actually keep betting goes way down. So now you got people who bet for 6 months, they give it up. Or like with the tracks, you've got people that will bet, four times a year, right? Maybe the, championship weekend in the NFL, the Super Bowl, maybe the Final Four, and one other thing. So, I mean, obviously it's greed, but to me it's just untenable. It's not just greed. It would actually kill the goose that laid the golden egg.
Well, let me ask you this, because let's say one of these states, let's pick a random state, let's pick Arkansas, wants to have sports betting, and they say, okay, well, we're going to get 1% of the money. I think the NBA would have a hard time, or the NFL, or any league would have a hard time taking that to Vegas and saying, okay, Nevada, now we get 1% of what you're making.
No, and that's the thing. My gut feeling here, and this is kind of not a knowledgeable opinion, but rather my gut feeling, is once the Supreme Court decides for the state. And if they don't, all bets are off, no pun intended. So that was pretty good, actually. All bets are off if we're not allowed to bet. But assuming it goes the way everyone thinks, what I expect to happen is that the leagues go to Congress and say, okay, we got to just make this national now because it's going to be too much of a mess to go state by state.
Right.
Because they'd have to, you make a good point, they'd have to negotiate each league with each state that wants to do this. So let's just assume 30 states do it, which I think in the long term is probably the right number that would want it. If 30 states do it and you've got five leagues or whatever to negotiate with, you know, not counting UFC or whatever, you know, NASCAR or whatever out, well, you're going to have 300 separate negotiations, you know, five times 30. So my gut feeling is the leagues get involved and try to make it national at that point.
Well, I would think the states would set rules for everything, and then the leagues would have to adhere to them.
Well, that's the point, right? We're giving up in exchange for, let's say, you know, what's the league's leverage, right? Because the leagues can say they want to take 1% of my revenue, and I'm going to, you know, laugh, right? So we come on here and tell you guys about it, right? So the question is, what's the leverage of the league? And to me, the leverage of the leagues is twofold. One is very modest, and one is huge. The modest is, well, you've lost the fight already, right? The bully is knocked out, and he's picking up his teeth, and then it's like, hey, I won't fight you anymore if you just, you know, give me $10. It's like, well, you know, you're not fighting me anymore anyway. You lost already. Here's where the big leverage is for the leagues. Europe is years ahead of the United States with sports betting. Not just legalization, but since it's been legal, they've gone through and matured more than we have. And as we talk about here all the time, Vegas is just really, really backwards in a lot of ways. Like, serious competition with sports betting would kill Vegas. Because Vegas is like the guy that's never, you know, the kid that's never left the house, you know, the boy in the bubble, where you walk outside and all of a sudden you're getting strains of flu you've never seen before and you can't deal with it, right? Silicon Valley, New York type finance people, they come in here, they're going to, or not in here, but they start competing with Vegas, forget about it. Vegas is in trouble, right? So to me, where the opportunity though is with in-game betting, because in Europe, that's the rage. So imagine you're watching TV, you're watching the game, and it's a smart TV. So, you know, it's a modern TV, and you see the game on the left, and on the right you see your balance, your username, you got $700, and it's you got like five bets to choose from. Will the next play be a runner pass? You know, do you want to bet team A or team B for the rest of the game? Do you want to bet, you know, imagine all the possibilities in game. And instead of having a second screen and issues with legacy, where legacy is in, you know, we're on a 7-second delay, and I tried to bet it, but the book shut me out, even though there was 3 seconds before the play. No, imagine the networks, the bookmakers, and the leagues all come together and offer an integrated smart TV in-game experience to bet. Now the league deserves their percentage, right? Because they're providing something. And I think they're making a mistake trying to make it about integrity, because that's their Trojan horse, but their beard is. They're trying to say, well, you need to pay it because we got to spend the money to make sure the games aren't being fixed. And to me, guys, that's the huge mistake they're making. Because if you start taking money for games not to be fixed, who's accountable when a game is fixed?
Right. That's what I'm saying. What happens? The league gives everybody money back?
Well, yeah. Or it's the PR side of things, too.
Right.
Right? Who runs integrity? Well, the NFL, in this hypothetical. Okay, well, how much did the NFL make to run integrity? You know, $100 million. Okay, well, pleaded guilty in court that he fixed the game. Now, NFL answer for it. And that's the trap they're falling into. And I can't say, I don't want to say the league because it was a confidential meeting, but about 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, me and one bookmaker in town sat down with one of the main league's head of integrity, so the kind of a liaison to Vegas. And what I told him was, what you need to do is not only, ideally, don't be involved in integrity at all, right? But number two, if you are, you got to set the threshold of, hey, we're not going to stop this. Just like no amount of compliance stops Wall Street type trouble, right? If the goal on Wall Street is to have zero financial crime, then the SEC is a huge failure.
Right.
Right? So what's the expectation? The expectation is there's going to be some gains to the game. The question is, can we lower it? Can we lessen it? Make it less frequent? And people aren't going to think like that, because if you ask the average sports fan how much game integrity issues are there, they're going to say, you know, maybe once or twice in the last decade a game's been fixed. I mean, maybe in the NFL, maybe in the NBA, you know, Tim Donahue being, you know, obviously an exception. But here's something I've never told about, and you're going to be shocked, and I'm interested to hear if you believe me. There's probably been over a dozen college basketball games fixed this year. And I won't say fixed, with point shaving.
Shaved, yeah.
Just this year.
Wouldn't shock me in the least. I think Louisiana.
A guy named, I think his last name was.
Did it last night.
Well, hey, it doesn't shock me. I think there's a lot more to do on this topic, RJ, and so I'm gonna tease it to next week because we've gotta get the break. But I think there's a lot. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface on this. So let's pick this up next week and do some more of it.
Excellent, guys. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, John, you want me to save this read for the other side of the break? All right.
We'll take a break then. We'll be right back. Let's on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5.